with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. At the end of the show, I've got an interesting question. I was perusing online last night, and I saw this discussion about golf milestones. And what that means, and to pertain to this discussion, is a personal milestone. Breaking 100, breaking 90, breaking 80. Breaking par, and kind of I just have an interesting question about that as far as how the round would go. I can't wait to see not only Jared's opinion on that, but also everybody else out there's opinion on whether or not it would be illegal breaking of a golf milestone if something occurred. So that's a lot of ifs, but I'll explain it in the last segment. We kind of skipped over yesterday because I figured everybody else would be doing it. But Aaron Rodgers moonlighting for Conair 2, the way he showed up, maybe. Where's Jimmy G headed? We hit on that yesterday a little bit about Trey Lance taking over as QB1 out in San Francisco. So where does that leave Jimmy G, a guy that's had more success than I think you realize? We got Elk City Public School Superintendent Mike Sparks coming in at 9:30. To tell all the voters about what's coming up on August 23rd. There's a bond issue, a transportation bond issue, that he wants to get the information out and about and disseminate that to the listeners and to the voters. So we'll have him at 9:30. He'll tell us about that and some other stuff. Yesterday, Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, all of a sudden is all about playoff expansion. Isn't that amazing? 365 days later, and it looks like it could 16 be the number? Feels like a bunch. Also, our long national nightmare could be coming to an end. Thank goodness Brittany Griner may be coming home. We'll talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight. But also go check out and pick up a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News at your favorite local newsstands. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. And then we're almost back. What, 4 weeks? 5 weeks? 4 weeks?
Is it a month from tomorrow?
Four weeks from tomorrow. August 26th. Big Elk football back on the field after a semifinal season last year. Can't wait. It'll be a lot of fun. A lot of fun on Big Elk TV. Paragon TV will have both the Hollis Tigers and the Merritt Oilers. So a double dip of the smaller schools this year for the first time ever on the football field. Skinny on Sports, Sports Podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. If you miss one of the shows entirely, you'll have a chance to go back and check that out at your leisure. Good morning, Jared.
How is your Thursday so far?
Oh, it's fine. Did you get any of that rain last night?
Very little. Very little.
Sprinkles last night?
Very little. It was not even sprinkles. I'd say maybe a light spitting of rain. Nothing to bring my lawn back, which I've been oh so desperately trying to do. It's a pride thing. You want a green lawn, right?
I do.
At what point do you just say, forget it?
When I got back from Salisaw.
Yeah, when I got back
from vacation. I'll tell you right when it happened.
When I got back from vacation, I was like, oh, well, I need to mow some spots of my lawn.
See, that's the hardest part, right? I did that, I guess it was Sunday. Yeah, and it was like, okay, I mean, part of it looks ridiculous because it's got, You can clearly tell where the sprinkler hit back in the middle of July.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, headed out and it's green. And everything else around it, you just see tire tracks from where the mower went through and probably demolished what was left of any life in the white grass.
Yeah.
I don't even call it brown. It's past that. It's like white.
I've been rotating the biggest sprinkler I have around my lawn in hourly increments. You know, I'll put it one place for an hour, then move it to the next place, and just go around my lawn in a pattern to try to combat this. Now, I've read that you don't really want to water your lawn when it's 100 and above. It's almost
useless.
Futile. It's just going to dry up as quick as you get it out of the hose. So I kind of, you know, and that usually means I wait till I get home from work, and even then it's still 100, has been the last few days, and it takes about until about 6:30 almost for it finally to get under 100, and then I'll start that all the way till I go to bed.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Even when I get up in the morning to let the dog out, I will have the sprinkler ready to go, have that going for a little bit before I leave for work.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to redo your day.
Yeah.
Like sleep all day and then be able to stay awake all night, because that's when you can actually water and it might make a difference.
Yeah.
When it finally, I mean, there's been times here lately where it's still been 100 at 8 o'clock at night.
Right,
it doesn't give you very much watering time.
No, it doesn't give you much time, but I'm trying. It's just a, you know, that's what we guys do. We take pride in our lawns, so I'm trying my best. It's been a, and then I haven't put a lot of attention into the lawn because of, you know, this past spring going into summer, been on the softball field helping out, and it's just been kind of pushed to the back burner. So it's my fault. Oh, well.
Yeah, our tomato plants got pushed to the don't even get planted back burner, which talking to people that did plant.
Yeah, I heard it was
probably
a
great year to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's been hard to, you know what, I think here, if you really wanted tomatoes, you probably ought to plant now.
Oh, okay. So do like a reverse.
Or maybe wait a week or two.
Yeah.
That way, once the plants get good and grown, then they'll start producing because it won't be so hot.
Yeah.
Or at least we hope it won't be so hot in the middle to late stages of September.
Well.
In October.
I just talked to you about joining and I thought this was crazy when I saw the date, a golf tournament in late October, and I thought, that might actually be a perfect weather situation.
It's one or the other, man.
It is.
It's either absolutely perfect or it's cold.
Or it's cold.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it being too hot very often on later in October.
No. So it's – oh, well. Oh, well. I hope it rains today. I know there's some rain where they needed it up north around the Moreland area dealing with that fire. I hope that helps them out. It only had it 20% contained last I checked.
Yeah, please don't fly your drones over the fire.
Who's doing that?
There was people flying their drones over the fire, and here's the problem. If you're going to fly your drone over the fire, then the helpers in the helicopters don't go.
Could they not just...
They don't go. You clearly didn't listen to Today in Ag yesterday.
I'm sorry I did not.
Sorry, Jimmy. The Moreland fire chief and then the Woodward County emergency person texted into the show saying, get this out there. Whoever is flying their drone over the fire, quit it. We finally have a helicopter coming up to help us, and they will divert and go back.
I'm assuming that a drone could get sucked up into the propellers.
Maybe something.
So it's just not safe.
Don't do it. That's all I know. Don't do it.
That's crazy. I've been a very novice drone flyer. I have a drone that I've been trying to learn the skill and. I never thought of that, but there's no way I would ever take it above a fire, though. I'm nervous taking it over water.
Well, that was the directive out yesterday.
That seems like a no-brainer to me. Don't take your drone above a fire.
It feels like an easy way to not have a drone anymore.
Yeah. I read, because you pay some money for the really nice drones, and this drone I got, I didn't pay a lot of money, but it's still one I don't want to lose, and I'm reading all the directions about it, and it gives you directions on when or in what temperatures you can fly your drone. And if it's, they said if it's above 100, don't fly your drone. If it's below a certain, because people want to get out and see the nice ice storm. Well, listen, it could freeze up. Yeah, and you know, or overheat.
Here you go. Back to the watering.
Okay.
Water deep. Put a cup out to measure an inch of water, and then move it to the next area. Water deep, about 3 to 4 days apart. Instead of an hour, like what make get an inch of water
in
before
your cup.
You move it. Yes.
Where do you put the cup?
I'm gonna guess where the water lands.
Just because I have a sprinkler, you know.
Oh yeah.
That just full 360. So where it's furthest reach, where the most water is landing.
It's a great question. I bet we'll get an answer
directly
on the text
underneath
line.
Underneath that, where do I? Yeah.
225-9698. Well, he knows the text number because he already texted us,
but maybe others know.
That's right.
Well, maybe some other watering tips.
Hey, listen.
It's the advantage of being on the radio.
That's exactly right. 15 feet away from the sprinkler head.
Perfect. I'll give that a shot.
You see Brittany Griner maybe coming home?
I saw there was a trade option on the table, an offer on the table. I don't know if it's been accepted yet. But, yeah, I heard the rumblings of that.
Brittany Griner and a guy named Paul Whelan. Not the one that we used for sales advice.
I was like, whoa, what happened, Paul? What'd you do?
So Brittany Griner's been there for like 5 months in the jail in Moscow because when she was coming into the country of Russia to try to play to go play basketball, I guess, she was caught transporting vape cartridges that contained cannabis oil.
Which is against the law.
Which is against the law.
In Russia.
And they claim...
She broke the law. The Russians, you're telling me.
The Russians claim that she had enough to where they were worried about her distributing it within their country. She says it was just for her own use. Okay. How about she's been detained for 5 months? So here was the trade. That Paul Whelan...
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, no. We have the possibility of a trade. Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan for a guy named Victor Bout. All he is the notorious Russian arms dealer doing 25 years for trying to scheme worth of millions of dollars of weapons. Do you know what his nickname is?
Yeah, something of death. Or
Merchant of death.
It's like a Bond villain.
No, this is like the Blacklist story or something.
Yeah, this is...
He's friends with Reddington.
Not familiar with that show. I've never seen it.
On NBC?
Yeah.
James Spader? Oh, dear. Anyway.
Sorry.
Let's look that one up.
I will.
Anyhow, you know, the irony of all this is that Brittany Griner, you know, her contributions lately to society, at least in America, have been a lot more geared toward slamming America. Anti-American.
Right.
So I find it puzzling that the trade would seem so lopsided for a WNBA star. We're giving away the Merchant of Death. Yeesh.
Are there any draft picks involved? Are we money,
Paul Whelan.
Money?
Yeah. I hope Paul Whelan's a bigger deal than what the one we know is.
I'm gonna venture to say there are other Americans detained in Russia. Why can't we get some of them involved to get back?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this process works, to be quite honest. I just thought it was interesting because of Brittany Griner's history of downgrading the country that she desperately wants to get back in.
It's ironic.
It is.
But it's not official. It's not.
No,
It's not
was
a
just
done
the,
deal.
It's funny because we're acting like it's like a basketball trade around.
Well, that's
the draft.
What everyone was doing yesterday. Saying, America got fleeced in that deal.
Yeah, no. Is this better or worse than OKC's Harden trade?
That's true. Oh, boy.
The gift that keeps on giving. joining us now here in the studio, Superintendent of Schools here at Elk City Public Schools, Mr. Mike Sparks. Mr. Sparks, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Oh, absolutely. School years, man, summer goes by faster as you get older, kids. So enjoy actually having a summer break. But it's almost here. You're here, though, because of a bond issue that's coming up transportation-wise. Tell us what this is all about.
So you know, this will be my second year here. And as we kind of reflected back on last year and just looking at some things that we need here in the district, one of the things that overwhelmingly continued to pop up was a transportation issue. And when you say that, let me just first say that you've got to give a lot of credit to Tom Osborne, who runs our transportation. The gentleman is managing 20-year-old plus buses that all have 150 to 200,000 miles on them. And in some cases with our charter buses, we're at 600,000 and almost 700,000 miles. And so there's not a way for us to improve that situation without some help of the constituents of the district. We can't do it. And so that's what we're trying to do. And it's not just an activity bus bond. We are looking to replace also our daily route buses as well.
That's a safety thing. You want to make sure all these transportation needs are met for the safety of the kids, right?
Absolutely. And you know, to just give you I remember just like yesterday, I'd probably been at Elk City about 30 days, and we're headed to Kingfisher to go to our first football scrimmage. And I remember we drop all the kids off, and we're making sure the kids are set and everything. And I see Mr. Osborne grab his tools, and he's getting with Dustin Marks, and he said, "Hey, are you ready?" And I said, "Where are you guys going?" And they said, "Well, we got to go work on that bus to make sure we get back home." So wow. It just wasn't running right on the way up here. And, you know, and again, we want to do activity buses, but we also want to make sure we're doing our daily route buses. It's not just for our sports, and it's just one of those things. And if you look at it, and it's information that we have to put out there, but we're talking about daily route buses, a 2001 model that has 105,000 miles, another 2001, 95,000 miles. We've got a 2004 that has 110,000, a 2005 with 111,000, another 2005 with 112,000. And so, again, we're trying to take care of all of our transportation needs, and it's just not something, like I said, that we can do on our own. We need a little help. Now, with that said, one of the things that because of gas prices are up and grocery prices are up, when we looked at doing this, we wanted to make the most responsible decision we could as a district to the taxpayers. We looked at running this issue as a two-year issue, which would have resulted in a double-digit tax increase, and we did not want to pass that on to the taxpayer. So this is a five-year issue. It doesn't take effect as far as an increase in tax rate until 23-24. And I will say there is a small tax increase, and we can certainly talk about that. When Elk City built the elementary school, it's not possible to run any type of bond issue without some type of a tax increase. So when we looked at this need, we're running it as a five-year issue, and it does have about a 4.6% increase. And what that means is for every $100 that a taxpayer owes an ad valorem tax, you're going to add about $4.74 per year to your tax rate.
Okay. So I know some of these have been done through, you know, sales tax, and that this one will be, though, for the ad valorem tax within the district of Elk City or the city?
Within the district of Elk City, yes.
Okay, so, you know, anybody that goes in the Merritt School District, they're not involved in having to be a part of this wonderful thing if it gets passed for the kids.
Correct.
That's I think people get that mixed up sometimes between what the city limits are and what the
district
encompasses. You know, the benefit for the kids is awesome, and you talked about the sports, but multiply that by 1,000 as far as worrying if a school bus, a rural route coming into town, all of a sudden's on the side of the road, and there's not that time, a window, to be able to fix it to get them to school on time.
Right. No, and you know, we had a bus last year that they were actually transporting some kids in town, and they went to pull up to a stop sign, and I've never had this happen. We actually picked up parts of that motor off the road.
Oh, my gosh.
We had to go get another bus.
Wow.
And so it's just time. Again, the buses that we're talking about replacing are 20-plus years old, a lot of miles. And we are. We're taking kids on that every day. And, you know, when you talk about transportation, that impacts every kid. Not every kid may play sports, but every kid's going to ride a bus at some point in time, whether that be a field trip, whether that be a band contest or choir or cheer, academic team, any of those things, the chances are every child, and we've got over 2,000 kids in our district, at some point in time is going to ride on a school bus. You know, when we first started talking about this bond issue, we believed that we could replace two activity buses, which is our two charters, and like I said, both of them are, one is almost at 600,000 miles and the other one's at almost 700,000. And then we thought we could replace five of our route buses. Well, just like everything else in the world, those prices have went up. And so because of that increase with our bond issue, we now think we can still replace two charters, and we think we can replace about three route buses. Well, so we've combined this with, and we won't know anything until October, but there is a federal grant that's out there to help replace mainly route buses. Mm-hmm. They will give you a significant amount of money towards new buses as long as they're electric.
Oh,
interesting.
They won't give you a lot of money if you try to do diesel or compressed natural gas or propane, and you know, we're all being pushed towards that electric deal. So I have applied for that, and so what I'm getting at is, instead of being able to maybe just do four or five buses, when we combine these two, we think we can do 9 to 10 buses. And we can set the district up for the next 10 to 15. Or if we get the same results that we've had from the current buses, we could be talking about the next 15 to 20 years setting the district up with safe transportation for all students.
Yeah, and that's the key to all of this, is to safely transport all of those kids, whether or not it be from their house to the school, from the school to any of those different contests that happen throughout the school year. That's the most important part of all of this. And right now, it's not like it's dire straits, but it's not that far away either when part of your motor's falling off on the ground.
Well, that, and you know, and again, whether it be athletics or band or whatever, you know, our band kids travel all over the place as well. I mean, just like we get to the Friday nights, you won't see a better band in the state of Oklahoma on a Friday night, and we want to send them safely to their trips as well. So no matter what we're sending out, like you said, whether it's coming to school or going on these athletic trips, we want to do that in a safe manner. And, you know, just from an athletic standpoint, you know, we go to Grove last year for football playoffs. I will tell you that every hour on the hour, there was a phone call happening on the way home to make sure that those charters were not broken down, mm-hmm. that we were able to get back home. And again, you know, Mr. Osborne takes this very personal. He takes such good care of those buses, but to see the worry on his face when he found out we're going to Grove,
oh, I bet.
You know, to make sure that those kids can get there, get home, and that we're not dealing with a broken down bus on the side of the road, I mean, that's this would be a big relief for him personally as well.
We sat down at the end of the year once we found out, okay, Grove, and then the next game was just to Weatherford, but we sat down and did the math, because last year we traveled a lot with the football team, and I didn't even think about, man, that's a lot of miles on those buses, not just for the football team. You mentioned the band. I'm sure there's others. Like maybe, I don't know if there's any student buses that went, but that's a lot of miles. What did we figure out? It was like a one-way trip to –
It was like one-way trip to Cancun or something like that. It was like 2,500 miles or something crazy.
Yeah. And that's all season. We drove a lot last year, and so kudos to your crews to maintain those buses to make sure those kids are safe and got there on time and got home safely too.
Yeah, and you know, another thing about this and just kind of, you know, because we're talking about the care he has taken on those buses – one of the things that this will do, and we talked about it being financially responsible, we tried to put the least amount of burden on the taxpayers, but just to kind of put that in perspective, we spent half of his transportation budget last year on two buses to maintain them. There was about $30,000 in repairs to just two of the buses that we operate. And so, you know, we obviously operate 10 to 11 buses on a daily basis, and we had $30,000 in two of those. And I'll just tell you, one of them needs work again right now as we get ready to go to the beginning of school and ramping back up. So it's just time, and I hope that people will see this as a need. We did not go out and try to get things that we want. We are aware of what is happening economically for people, and we just need help. We're just at a point where we need some help, and we try to do this in the most responsible way with the least amount of burden to the taxpayer.
Yeah, and you know, those repair bills add up, and so it's one of those things where, you know, some of that goes down, and obviously you're going to have help from the taxpayers. There's no doubt about that because of the immense cost that is involved with, you know, those buses. But at the same time, with a guy like Tom up there, you know, give him a new fleet. How much longer do they, you know, how much longer can he stretch him out to be really, really effective working with a totally new set of things?
Well, and you know, like you said on that too, when they bought those charters, they've bought them, I think they're 2000 models, but I think the district has owned them for 10 or 11 mm-hmm. years. But because of the cost of them at the time, I think they had about 300,000 miles on them when the district purchased them. By doing this through a bond and the help of the taxpayers, we're putting a brand new bus.
Right.
It's not one that's, you know, well broken in. We're talking yeah. about brand new buses. The route buses will all have air conditioning. I mean, we're upgrading big time for our kids.
That's yeah. big. So, again, August 23rd, that's the vote. How soon, when passed, will you see new wheels hit the ground?
So, it's interesting because just like everything else, you're talking about things you don't know when they're going to come in. The nice thing about this, and there's a really good chance you would see new buses and our kids on those new buses by October at the latest.
Wow.
September, middle of September is the earliest. And then as you go on down the road, you could see the additional buses, if we are afforded the grant, mm-hmm. By March. You could see electric buses taking our kids around by March. And so it kind of hits and miss. But all of this would come in during this school year.
During this, yeah. And it's that's kind of weird because you think of these things passing for things for projects way down the line a lot of the times with buildings and that kind of thing. We're going to see almost an immediate impact within the first month and a half after this vote would be passed.
Yes. Yeah, it is a – now, some of that's going to depend on inventory, but what I'm being told is once we get past this hurdle, there's a real chance by, like I said, late September, October, you're going to begin to see new buses for our kids, and then how that grant goes. And you just don't know one yet, and we won't find out until October, but I don't know what an electric bus is going to be like. They tell me that it's a 15-year battery life on those. I know they've been running them in other parts of the country, and they've had a lot of success with it. So we'll see.
I'm wondering that will you be able to distinguish, just looking at them, the difference?
Well, some of them have put like a green bumper on them, which you can kind of put that in your head.
Yeah.
But
you just paint that brown. Don't worry about it.
But they are they look just like a regular bus. The only difference will just be you can see like they've done a different color on the wheels or something to kind of set it apart, but other than that you can't tell any difference.
It's still
whatsoever.
A yellow dog looking
it's a yellow dog bus, but it's going to have an air conditioner, and right now we're putting kids on route buses, they don't have air conditioners.
That's big. Yeah.
Which all of us grew up without them. But
air conditioner was the window down. That was it.
And sometimes that was a bad choice because it was blowing in
hard
air. We're hanging out with Elk City Superintendent of Schools, Mike Sparks, talking about a transportation bond issue coming up the 23rd. Let's move away. This is going to be your second year as a superintendent here at Elk City. Kind of recap what your thoughts were on year one.
You know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to about starting this second year, when you're the new guy and you come in and everybody's kind of like, okay, what's this guy going to do? And everybody knows that when somebody new comes along, there's going to be something that changes, and we all know how we love change. So one of the things that I'm looking forward to, and I've tried to share this as much as I can, when I came in, I really wanted to focus on academics. I was very fortunate as a high school principal to be put in charge of a school that was considered a failing school. And within 4 years, we were a B school. And so I feel fortunate that I have that background. And so coming off of COVID and the different things, you know, it has put our kids in a little bit of a spot where they're behind. And so I like that part of education. I know I wouldn't be sitting here if it were not for a baseball coach who made sure that I went to school and classes, and to be able to trade education and make a better life for myself than what, you know, might have been. It's very important to be able to give some of that back. So when I first came here, we started looking at some things that we could do that basically we're putting all kids where individually we're looking at each kid. What can we do? Where does this kid need a little extra support? Where does this kid need some enrichment? And anyway, our teachers here really did an amazing job. The story I like to tell is we didn't fire anybody. We didn't go out and buy a magic program. Our teachers rolled up their sleeves. They worked together, and they worked with their kids. And as a result of that, we're sitting here with double-digit academic growth as measured by the state of Oklahoma. I can't wait to get our teachers back. They kind of know, and some of them have started to look at it, and they want to look at it a lot more. We just haven't had them all back together to let them see. But the ownership that our teachers have taken in this, and to see where that's going to go this year, I'm really excited. Our kids and our teachers did an amazing thing last year. I want everybody in Elk City to know that the education their kid is getting is definitely on the way up. We were so close to having all-time highs all across the board. We do have some all-time highs for the school district since the state of Oklahoma started recording this new information 5 years ago, but we were so close to having that record growth in all grade levels. And then another byproduct of this is, for the first time, you know, 5 years ago, Elk City students outscored the state of Oklahoma on the ACT composite score. I believe 5 years ago, the state composite was about 19.1 and Elk City was 19.2. Well, during the last 5 years, Elk City High School has kind of seen their ACT composite score going the wrong direction. So this past year, for the first time, we actually increased our ACT composite score by a full point. So there are a lot of positive things going and academically. And then obviously when you get going back to school, I'm excited. These fall sports, you see kids out running every morning for cross country. I see them going by my neighborhood and think about going out and joining them and then realize, no, my body hurts, but I'm cheering for them.
Just thinking about it makes you hurt, right?
maybe a cup of water or something. Yeah.
We need to start up a route like in the Oklahoma City Marathon and offer them cups of water. And then, you know, too, hey, we've got a chance at a softball team to go to the state tournament and do something special. And then, again, you know, we're excited about our football season. They had a great run last year, and you've got a new head coach that I think's going to be a star. I really do. I like what he brings for our kids and the goal and the vision that he has. And then on top of that, I'm telling you, on a Friday night at a halftime, you will not see a better band in the state of Oklahoma than what we have here at Elk City. And so I came here to raise my family, and I couldn't ask for a better place where your kids can be involved in so many different things. It's not just one. You've got academics going the right way, athletics going in a good direction, the fine arts going in a great direction. And not to mention, you know, we've got a cheerleading team that qualified for state last year that does a good job as, you know, representing our school and our school spirit and the things that they do with our student body at the football games. I mean, it's just going to be an exciting fall.
You know, before you showed up, you know, no offense to the last guy, Mr. Garrison, but the football team was, So a lot of pressure on you this year, because then you show up, they go all the way to the semifinal. So they set the bar. I'm going to say it was all on you. You set the bar for that football team. But you're right. It's exciting. Coach Maynard's got them going in a good direction. I think it's going to be fun.
I'll tell you, the only thing I ever did right as a former coach. Now, I coached baseball forever, but they made me coach football 1 year. And so I've told people this story. So this is the only claim to fame I have in football. I have zero claim to last year or this year. But here's what I want Coach Maynard to do for me. And the irony of this story is Coach Maynard was a student at Hobart when this happened. Uh-huh. So they put me on the football staff, and they've got me coaching offensive linemen, which, bless their hearts, I knew play side foot, head across, you know, that kind of stuff, man in the gap. Well, all year long, we kept running at Anadarko. It was this freeze play on fourth down. And I walked over and I said, hey, would we please stop running freeze and try to get them to jump? I said, just go on the goose the center and go. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you mean? I said, just go up and kind of goose him and go. It went 40 yards for a touchdown. The only play I've ever got to call in football. So if Coach Maynard's listening, at some point in time on a fourth down, can we please just goose the center and go for 40 yards like we did against you when you were at Hobart?
Okay, that's filed. We're going to be looking for that all season now.
Yeah, mark that at 8:38. One thing that I thought was really cool in getting to meet Zach and kind of learning about him was July the 5th. He had his guys out there helping clean up the park from all the firework debris. I just thought that was, as a parent that's going to have a kid maybe playing for him here pretty quick, I thought that was really cool to not only the football aspect of it, but then, you know, just kind of being a man and supporting the town and all that. I thought it was really neat.
It establishes a love for your town, and then that transfers over to the football field. That's a great idea.
No, one of the things that I, again, just like what you're talking about, but I heard him speak one time, and he talked about how he was able to take his young boys and have them around our young men in our football program and how much that meant to him. And he talked about how, yes, he would love to win football games, but his main focus, and it should be the goal of all coaches and educators, we're trying to create young men and young women that are going to grow up and be responsible citizens and be good parents and be good families and be good community members. And so he is definitely – that is a priority for him, and the wins will take care of themselves when those things are in line. And so he is definitely he was somewhat handpicked by Coach Meadows, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, again, no pressure, but again, football was great last year. Baseball went all the way to state. The golf teams qualified, so
that one might have been in spite of the coach.
The baseball?
Yeah.
You know what was special about that baseball, though, is to see former Elk City alumni coaching the baseball team. Yeah. When I was still coaching, I can remember the last time that Elk City had made the state baseball tournament. Coach Streeter and I were good friends, competed against each other when I was still coaching. And of course, you know, Jory Price is coaching my son now, and Jory was a player. And so, but to come back to kind of when you were coaching, and I coached against Jay McClure, I coached against Michael Fisher. Mm-hmm. And so to see that happen for those guys, that was just really special. That was a special moment. And again, hey, they've got that thing going in the right direction. I think we have a great group of coaches, and our band director is second to none. Our choir director is second to none. Our cheer. I mean, there's just a lot of really good people that work in this district that one, care about kids, two, want things to be better for kids, and expect kids to do the right things and be the best that they can be. And as a parent, that's what I wanted for my children in a school. And so, we've got a lot of good things going, and it's a good time to be an Elk City Elk, to be real honest.
No doubt about it. Tell us one more time. Okay, August 23rd, bond issue vote. What are we voting on to replace?
August 23rd, we will be voting to replace 1.8 million miles off the roads for buses for the school district. Yes, it does include some activity buses, but it also includes route buses. We're going to try to take care of all students.
All students, and then hopefully that grant in October, and then we get to see what an electric bus looks like.
We were laughing the other day. If we do get the electric bus, I'm assuming you have to bring that in on an 18-wheeler because they only go about 130 miles. So are you going to drive that from your factory and pull over every, 100 miles to recharge?
I get the electric side. I totally get it. It could save the district a lot of money on gas and everything. But you'd have to be kind of strategic to know, okay, we got to go from us to wherever we're going and hope they have an electric station, a place to charge us. You have to kind of check that out. But you're seeing more and more of those pop up around.
And the electric buses, if we're able to secure those are going to be for local use only.
Okay.
We're not planning on putting those out on the highway. And so, again, they won't give you any assistance if you're going to buy diesel or regular fuel. Mm-hmm. And so the grant actually came about as a second part just to try to replace even more buses, because in the beginning we thought we could do 6 to 7 buses with the bond, and then as prices have went up, that kind of started to shift where you can do maybe 4, maybe 5. Mm-hmm. And so this then became an opportunity to add more to that. So instead of replacing 5 or 6 buses, now you get a chance to look at possibly 10.
And also half of that cost is off of the taxpayers of Elk City.
Correct.
By trying to use the grant process to get the electric ones.
Absolutely. And again, we wanted to be responsible with this, but we just need some help. We just do.
Well, if you have to take the electric bus out, I'm sure Culver Electric will let you take one of their generators.
They'll have a generator to charge it or something. Hey, Mr. Sparks, thanks so much for joining us. I know you'll be back between now and then on our sister stations as well, pushing this great thing for the kids of Elk City.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it. Can't wait to get our kids back in school and get going again.
Absolutely. Superintendent of Schools Mike Sparks here with us this morning, detailing the bond issue coming up August the 23rd, transportation for the kiddos. Good stuff. All right, Jared, so I have a question about golf milestones.
Okay.
I want everybody to chime in as well. But before we get to that, the lawn care, the watering, it sprung a leak, as it were.
Oh, why?
Figured I'd expound on the water conversation. Overly simplified math with evaporation rates. So, we're losing roughly 0.2 daily in evaporation. So, if you don't water
with
the heat.
Right.
So, what that's telling you is in a work week, we're losing an inch of rain, an inch of water, an inch of moisture. So if you don't water deep, it evaporates before the grass and plants can properly mm-hmm. utilize it.
You know, at one point in my lawn, and it was after sun went down in this really dry spot, I just straight up took the hose with no sprinkler and set the hose right in the middle of it and turned the water on just to get it soaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what we need to be doing, it sounds like.
Yeah,
Every three or 4 days. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking about lawn care guys here, giving us this great information.
All right. The question
uses
I asked.
Uses a coffee cup so it doesn't blow over.
I asked how big of a cup, because the person who sent us the text about measuring, and I asked, well, how big of a cup? Like just a solo cup? But that makes sense. It could blow over. A coffee cup?
Oh, we're the same person.
Oh.
On both text lines.
who is that? Can we say?
Yeah, it's our man Scotty Kelly.
Oh, we need to put that in our text. We need to save that.
Superior Lawns.
I need it.
Scotty Kelly.
Well, I'm going to save his number because I have a spraying question for the fall.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so I have, when I say golf milestone, I'm talking about like your personal record, okay?
Okay.
And so if anybody that's golfers out there, there's certain stair steps down as you get better. You know, like the first one is breaking 100. Hey, I guess, look at here, I shot in the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as you do that, and I will tell you, if any of you that are struggling to get past one of these milestones, the hardest time is the first time. Because as soon as you do it, you'll do whatever you're trying to do over and over again, and you'll be like, man, why was that so hard? I can do that all the time now. So, you know, breaking 100, breaking 90, breaking 80, then getting, you know, under par or breaking 70 is what we're talking about here. So here's the question. Let's say you went out last night. Last night's kind of a decent example, at least because there's a little bit of rain. So you went out and you play the front nine holes, and you shoot. You're trying to break 80 in this. I think people can. Maybe we should do 90. Should we do 90 or 80? Does it matter?
For me, it's 100. But for someone like my dad, he was happy when he broke 80.
Okay, so let's do 80.
It really depends on what kind of golfer, but let's do 80.
Let's do 80 just because I know the numbers and I don't have to rethink them. So you go out on the front nine and shoot 39. Then it starts raining, lightning. You cannot finish.
Okay.
But you have time the next morning, and you go back the next morning and you play the other nine and you shoot 40 for a 79. Should that count?
Why not?
I'm just asking.
Should finishing the round.
Should it count?
I don't see why not. I think it should not count if you come back a week later, you know. But you pick it up immediately as soon as you can. Act of God, man. You can't control the rain. I don't see why not.
I would agree.
I mean, that's how it works at the pro level.
I would agree.
Am
and
I
that's
right?
Yeah, there's the counts in the PGA.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
But, I mean, it doesn't kind of like, okay, oh, I got rained out last night after 9, and then you go off for a week and go, whoa, you know what? I need to pick up my round after 5 nights of sleep and
or if you would
rehab
go,
your body and everything.
Or
Come
if
on.
You'd go back the next day and restart and shoot, say, a 42 and then shoot a 40, you can't just have the 39 from the night before if you're going to play 18 consecutive holes.
Yeah.
The reason why I think it counts is, one, that's exactly right. It counts on tour. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's harder. And here's why.
You're on a rhythm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're playing good, and you just continue to go.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you hear this on the broadcasts all the time, especially for guys that have never really been in that position. What is the first thing you hear on the Oh, they slept with the lead. They slept with the overnight lead. Well, guess what? You have to sleep with a 39 on your scorecard.
Yeah.
Knowing you're going back in the morning and getting kind of worked up about it. Like, is this the day?
Yeah, you can feel like a pro. Like, okay, this is where I can win this thing.
I think it's harder. I think it's actually harder to do it that way. That's true. And therefore should count.
You got to pick up your rhythm. Weather conditions could change.
Yeah, I mean, what if it rained a ton and now all of a sudden a fast track is a slow one?
Yeah, what if it was not windy the night before, a little breezy the next morning? You know, there's all those different things. Temperatures, all that's different stuff. Yeah.
I would agree. I think it counts. Absolutely 100% think it should
count. You want to know my personal milestone I'm going for?
What?
Playing with two or less balls. I mean, hoping not to lose any. I had a buddy who was texting me last night. He went golfing.
So you would play with three?
I'd play. I'd have a. And I would just pray.
Can you tell me how that works? Playing with three of them?
You know what I mean.
I don't know if I do or not. Could you explain?
Losing balls.
Oh.
Where are you going?
I do that every time.
Lose balls all the time?
No. Play with two of them.
Yeah. Just don't know. You're worse than my wife, man. Just ripping me to shreds.
I'm not ripping you.
My buddy got a. He was texting the group last night. So, I just finished 18 holes with only played with two balls. I'm pretty proud of myself. Like, that's a pretty good. He was mentioning milestones. Like, that's a pretty good milestone.
Still don't understand how he's doing it with more than two at any point in his
life.
Well,
sorry, bud, that we're not these.
You're not getting my joke.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can say on air what I think you're thinking.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten commissioner. Yeah, now you're with it. Kevin Warren.
I was totally on board. I don't want to say anything about it. Okay. Go ahead. Big Ten.
Did you see his comments?
I saw headlines. What did he say?
Well, all of a sudden he is.
Now he's on board.
On board with the conference, the playoff expansion. Completely on board. And even thinks it might, that 16 might be the number.
Okay.
Sure seems like an amazing transformation of his thinking, considering one of the reasons we're not at 12 already is because of him and that ridiculous alliance that lasted about, 9 months.
Yeah.
Between him and the Pac-12. 16, better or worse than 4?
It's a dramatic change from 4 to 16, but without seeing a format, I could only assume it would mean all conference champs get in.
I've seen some that there are no automatic bids.
No automatic bids, so it's just a committee picking, just seeding the 16 teams, regardless of outcome of conference.
I'm sure there's way different models.
Sure, there's going to be a whole bunch floated. I would think if there was going to be expansion, it would go 4-8, then 16. You know, or go from 4-8, then double it up to 16. But 4-16 seems pretty dramatic, but if you go straight to 16, it seems pretty concrete that it wouldn't change anymore. Seems pretty drastic, because you're going to have to, I mean, would that include buys for, like, the top?
Wouldn't think so. You think everybody'd have to play each other.
Everybody plays the first round. And then, you know, does that dilute the regular season as far as the first of the season with non-conference games? A lot of questions in there. I think I'd feel more comfortable going to it, but as soon as you go to an 8-team playoff, I mean, even after the first year, you'll hear, it needs expanded. So maybe that's what he's thinking. Let's just go straight to 16 and see if this will fit for the next 20-plus years. Do you think 16's too dramatic, too quick? Feels too quick.
Yeah, I think
4 to 16 just seems like, whoa!
I think 16 is too many.
What do you think it'd be, like 12?
Period. 8 to 12. I'm afraid, and it probably will end up happening where it gets to the point where it's watered down. I mean, some people would say 4 is watered down because of how bad those semifinal games have been most of the time since the 14 playoff has been instituted. I mean, there's just been whippings a lot of those years. So we saw that last year. Those two games were not competitive. whatsoever, just to get to the final. So I think, and our buddy Tyler Harrison makes this point all the time when he and I talk about it, you know, that he thinks the BCS was better than what the 4-team playoff is, just because of how there's like, it's almost like two teams don't belong with the other two already at four. You know, very rarely have we seen good games in those semifinals. But
so you think well, any expansion is going to give us a better semifinal, don't you think?
Maybe because it's teams that weren't able to access the top four because of what the criteria are. Now, if they're in an 8-teamer, you actually get maybe better to or closer to the best four teams at the end. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
By beating, I mean, by winning games in the,
barring upsets,
in the first.
You know, there's always going to be upsets, but, you know, or Cinderella stories. Talk about rhythm. You know, there's always that. You can get a team, instead of going cold into a semifinal, which I think is a big problem what we have right now. You know, they get to play a conference championship game, or some don't, and they sit for so long, and this is why we don't have very good semifinal games.
Yeah, you'd think it would roll in there a little bit faster. The one thing that I think more than anything, and it's why I would be for expansion, is because I think it would keep more people interested in watching college football. And we joke and laugh a little bit about the West Coast, but I'm not kidding. The interest wanes after week one over the past, what, since Oregon's been good or hasn't been good?
Well, I mean, a fine example is when Oregon and Auburn played. Auburn beat them, and then boom. Pac-12 was immediately eliminated in the public's eye, and
until,
they stopped
until
watching.
Until spunky little Utah is 8-1.
Right.
But even then, as far as nobody cares about Utah in the Pac-12. Really?
No, yeah.
Nobody cares. And so I think this is at least, you know, and that's where those automatic conference bids, to me, make a lot of sense from the standpoint of keeping people interest and interest levels across the country, because you can be in Ames, Iowa. You can be in, you know, Tempe, Arizona. You can be in Pullman, Washington, whatever. If your team is in the running down the stretch for a spot in that conference championship game that then – results in a win into the playoff, you keep way more people interested outside of just Tuscaloosa, Columbus, sometimes South Bend, Clemson, Norman. You know, those, you can start picking out cities that are interested most years. Outside of those 5 to 10, unless you just love college football, your team's out and you don't really care. I think that's the beauty of the expansion playoff-wise, and that's why I think you need to have those automatic bids for conferences, is because it keeps that momentum and it keeps that interest alive and well for everybody outside the Southeast.
And it also keeps the players interested. You don't have a lot of opt-outs in the middle of the year when they think that they're done. And, you know, you get better play, I think, on field, the better players staying on the field to play, because there's still a chance. When you expand it, you're opening up more doors to actually win a national title. Whereas today's format is, you lose one or two, depending on who you are, you're done.
Yeah, and what's the one thing that it feels like the playoff needs that right now it's just not going to get? And that is kind of the Cinderella story of it all. That's why everybody loves the NCAA tournament so much.
Yeah.
It is because of that possibility. For one, when there's only four, I mean, how much of a Cinderella can it really be outside of finally Cincinnati breaking down that door this year? But once you get to 8, or even if you get to 12, then some of those storylines can really start to develop, and develop in a way that is realistic, as opposed to Cincinnati having to beat Alabama to create that storyline going, which, you know, we all know how hard a task that was always going to be.
Sure.
And so it makes a lot of sense. I just think that the hypocrisy of Kevin Warren to now try to be out in the forefront of playoff expansion after being a thorn in the side of it all, just because you picked up UCLA and USC, and it sounds like they're not done. You know, Greg Sankey at the SEC, he kind of had more of the approach of, we'll wait and see, and Warren's kind of saying that without saying, we're not done. And, you know, what that means, obviously, you know, Notre Dame, they're the one that they can do whatever they want to. And when they finally say, hey, I want in, no one's telling them no.
Right.
You know, but yeah. Outside of that, I think you've got schools, especially those West Coast schools, and maybe Stanford and Cal are now really in the mix to join Washington and Oregon, USC and UCLA in that Big Ten, because you know good and well that they'd love to keep their nose pointed straight up in the sky with the way that they feel about themselves, no matter how good they are or aren't on the football field. That seems like a match made in heaven for Stanford and Cal to be in the hoity-toity Big Ten, right? If they can't be in their own hoity-toity Pac-12. It's going to be interesting. Do you think – I heard the guys talking driving over, but a couple of them think that we are going to know kind of a little bit more resolution to this topic, not necessarily the playoff expansion, but the realignment before things really kick off Labor Day weekend.
I don't think so.
Well, there's that 30-day window that the Pac-12 has right now to negotiate TV deals that will expire.
No, that's true. I keep going back to last summer, OU Texas announced, and then everyone's looking around, what's going to happen next? Something's going to happen, and nothing happened. It's kind of repeating itself. UCLA, USC, they announced their big move, and we're still doing it. What's going to happen next? I don't see anything else happening before the kickoff of the season. That's just me. But I get to what you're saying. That because the 30-day window thing, that wasn't there last year.
No.
So that could
and I don't think if nothing happens, I think that means that either the SEC or the Big Ten didn't grab up others. Because I don't know if anything. Maybe the Arizona schools and the Colorado and Utah, maybe they just decide, you know what, these guys, we don't trust them in the other Pac-12s because they're just going to jump when they can to the Big Ten. Let's get our spot secure in that Big 12, and now we can build when the ACC starts to fall apart. We can grab some of the, you know, and all of a sudden it's going to be three of us left standing. Mm-hmm. Sure, we might be a little bit a notch below what the Big Two are, but we're also going to be way the hell ahead of where we would be without making this deal and getting together.
I bet you there is some talk that we know there is talk with schools and other conferences, and it just could be like an every summer thing. So, you know, we heard when the UCLA-USC thing went down that they were talking way back the summer before last summer. So when we get to next summer, you know, when the offseason really kicks in, we might hear an announcement of some more realignment and go, oh, yeah, by the way, they started talking as soon as USC and UCLA left.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and they probably say, hey, okay, you're coming, but don't announce it till the end of the academic year.
Yeah, and I think that's where
it's amazing that people are able to keep it a secret that long, too.
I know. It really, really is. And then all of a sudden this afternoon it could be, bam, Clemson to the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. Florida State to the SEC.
Yeah, everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.